Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Hey, here's my question to start this morning. What do you do when your world falls apart? All right, think about that for a moment. When you start feeling your world falling apart in your life, what do you want to do? And what I mean by that is something like this. Maybe you have a large, unexpected bill that shows up and you're already behind financially and your world begins to fall apart. You get called into the boss's office and find out that you're no longer needed for work. And your world begins to fall apart. Your kids are making sideways decisions that you never dreamed for them or thought that they would make those kinds of decisions in their lives, and your world begins to fall apart. You get a phone call from your best friend sharing with you they got the diagnosis, and along with that diagnosis is a time limit. And all of a sudden, your world begins to fall apart. Everybody experiences moments like this. We all go through moments where it feels like our world is beginning to fall apart and it's crashing in around you. Actually, for some of us in this room, you're there right now. For others, you've just left that season. And then for the last group, hold on, right? Because there's probably one on the way. We've all had it, right? I've had moments like that in my life. I've had a church plant that failed. And it felt like my world was coming down. I got a front row seat to watching my dad battle brain cancer. And it felt like my world was crumbling down. I remember standing helplessly as a medical team was wheeling my son in for surgery. And there was literally nothing physical that I could do or a way that I could help practically in that moment. And it felt like my world was falling apart. And when your world is falling apart, what you don't need in that moment is you don't need a lecture. You don't need a lecture on theology or things that you should think better or do better. What you need is when your world is falling apart, you need an anchor for your soul. You need something in the depths of who you are, something that's greater than yourself to hold you together in this. For most of us, when our world is falling apart, our gut reaction is to save it. When the world is falling apart, we work to save it, right? We try to come up with ideas. If I work harder, right? If I put in more effort, if I can do whatever's necessary to get my world back to the way that it was before, just to simply save it. But here's my question. What if the way forward is not you saving your world? What if God's plan going forward is actually something remarkably different that really wasn't in your headspace or wasn't on your mind as you were thinking about that? And that's exactly what we're talking about today. Today we're going to look at three actions that you and I can take when it feels like your world is falling apart. And we're going to be using Psalm 46 to do that. So if you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to Psalm 46. Psalm is in the Old Testament, so if you kind of get the middle of the Bible open up, you'll be able to get close to the Psalms, and then you're going to find chapter 46, and we're going to live there. While you're going to Psalm 46, I do want to say good morning and welcome. Thank you guys, everybody, for coming out today. Really glad you're here. My name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors. Super glad you're all here today. I want to welcome everybody who's joining at Lighthouse Online. Thanks for being with us today. And I want to welcome all of our guests today. It means the world that you guys would come and spend time with us here on Sunday morning as we look at the scriptures and talk about who God is. And so, family, we do this from time to time. Can we take a moment and welcome all of our guests and everybody who's joining at Lighthouse Online? And let them know how grateful we are that you're here today. We love it. Absolutely love it. Okay, so when your world is falling apart, what are we going to do? Let's talk about that. Here's the first thing you're going to do. When your world's falling apart, you're going to run to God first for help. You're going to run to God first for help. In fact, this is how this psalm begins in Psalm 46. It says this. It just starts with the truth of who God is. It says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And so the psalm just begins out and just says, listen, this is who God is. He is a refuge. He is strength. He is an ever-present help. Later in the psalm, it refers to God as a fortress. And when you put all these words together, what's happening is the psalmist is describing that God is a place of safety. God is a place of rest. God is the person who you can trust in your life. And it says he is an ever-present help in trouble, meaning that God can be found when you need him, right? He is there. Now here's a cool thing. I wonder, does anybody happen to know the Findlay Fire Department, right? Here in our town, Findlay Fire Department. Does anybody know what their response time is, the average response time is for the Findlay Fire Department in our city? 30 seconds? That's amazing. Like, yeah, I want to be a part of that. Yeah. They could be that quickly, but if you're like right next door. Their average response time is 4 minutes and 8 seconds. 4 minutes and 8 seconds from the time you make a phone call, they are on the scene. Now, I went and looked at like a lot of the other municipalities of a similar size, and Findlay is way above almost every other city. They fall in the standard of excellent. 4 minutes and 8 seconds. Absolutely remarkable. So the time you make a phone call, it's about 4 minutes by the time that they show up on average. Now, why do I share that? When you have an issue and you call out to God, do you know what God's response time is? Ever-present. He's already there. God's already on the scene. In fact, he already knew about it before it happened, right? That's who our God is. He's ever present. He's there. He's with us. And so when your world is falling apart, go to God first for help. What am I talking about? I'm talking about prayer, right? Because that's what the book of Psalms is. It is a book of prayers. It is a book of worship songs about the character of God and what he can do and what he can accomplish. And so what the psalm is inviting us to do is when the world comes crashing down and it's falling in on us, that we can go to God in prayer because he's ever present. This is exactly what Jesus did, right? He's hours away from his arrest. He's hours away from being tortured, from being put on the cross to pay our penalty, right, as our substitute for our sin so that we can be brought into a right relationship with God, right? He's just hours away from all of that. By the way, if you knew that was coming, would it feel like your world was falling apart? I think so. I think it would be easy to feel that way. And so Jesus was feeling that. And do you know what he did? He prayed. He prayed. Mark chapter 14 tells us what happened. It says this, Jesus, he took Peter, James, and John with him and began to feel distressed and anguished. And he said to them, my anguish is so great that I feel as if I'm dying. Wait here and stay awake. After walking a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, he might not have to suffer what was ahead of him. And he said, Abba, Father, you can do anything. Take this cup of suffering away from me, but let your will be done rather than mine. When Jesus was distressed and in anguish to the point of feeling like he was dying, he went to God in prayer. And he asked God for help. And he asked God for wisdom and direction. He even asked if it's possible to take this cup of suffering away. But how did he end the prayer? Your will be done. Your will be done over mine in this situation and in every situation. And so my question to you is this. What's got you distressed right now? What's got you in anguish? What in your life is causing you to feel like I'm ready to give up? I'm ready to just throw in the towel and be done with this situation. Here's what Psalm 46 would tell you. Run to God. Run to God first. Go to him. Talk to him. Pray and ask him for help. This is what we do. This is who God is. He's an ever-present help in our time of trouble. Do you know what happens when you pray? When you pray, when you talk to God, when you go to God first for help, do you know what happens? Here's the first thing that happens. You are relying on God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is an intentional relying on God. When I go to God in prayer, what I'm doing is I'm actually stopping and I'm not doing anything. I'm saying, God, you've got to give me guidance. You've got to give me power. You have to move in ways that only you can move. I can't do this. Prayer is literally resting from work and choosing to trust God. By the way, that's what you were created to do. You were created to trust God in every single situation in your life. And so when you pray, you're relying on God. This is what Peter was saying in his letter. He said, give all your worries and your cares to God. Why? For he cares about you. For some of you, this is the first time you've ever heard this about God, that God cares about you. Because you've had in your mind that God is somehow this vindictive being who's looking to trip you up and make your life harder and zap you at any moment, and that's just not true. Actually, the Bible describes him as a loving father who cares about you deeply and that you can come with all of your worries and all of your cares, and he'll walk you through that. Prayer is a key way to give your worries to God. And so when you pray, you are relying on God. There's another thing that happens when you pray. You get God's peace. When I pray, I get God's peace. A lot of people don't realize that. That actually when you're praying and you're putting things in God's hands, you start to receive his peace. This is what Paul was talking about in his letter to the Philippians. Look at this in chapter 4. Paul says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, right? Even when your world is crashing in around you, in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so Paul says, when we pray, when we actively rely on God, when we put our faith in him, there is this peace that surpasses our understanding. Now, it doesn't say that if you pray, God makes all your problems go away. Doesn't say if you pray, all of a sudden everything falls in your direction and the house isn't burning down anymore and everybody lives happily ever after. That's not what this says. It says you can pray, and when you do, God gives you peace even in the midst of the storm. That even while the house is burning down, why am I okay? Why, right? I'm not happy that my house is burning down, but man, I just have this peace that, and people are going, this doesn't make sense. Right? Yeah, it's the peace that surpasses all understanding. In fact, studies back this truth up from the scripture, right? Studies have shown that when you pray, prayer actually counters your fight or flight response, right? And so instead of fight or flight, you choose faith, right? When you pray, it lowers your heart rate. When you pray, it regulates your blood pressure. Right? These are just the physiological things that take place. We're not even talking about the spiritual realities. These are the physiological things that happen when you and I pray and turn to God. And so when you pray, you get the peace of God. But Paul goes on to say further, not only do you get the peace of God, but if you keep trusting God, you go one layer deeper. Right? Look at Philippians. This is just a couple verses afterwards. Look at this. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So when we pray, the peace of God comes into our lives. When we continue trusting him, not only do we get the peace of God, but we actually get the God of peace himself, right? And that's worth everything, no matter what I'm going through. Now, a little later, I'm going to give you an option for a guide to help you pray when it feels like your world is falling apart, because sometimes we don't know what to pray, we don't know how to pray, and so we've created a guide that can be helpful for you in that. But when your world is falling apart, one of the first things you and I should be doing is running to God for help, okay? That's number one. Here's the second thing. When your world is falling apart, you fight fear by focusing on God. Right? You fight fear by focusing on God. Because when your world is crashing in, right? Your loved one is ill, you're losing your job, the finances are out of control, your kids are making sideways, whatever it is, fear begins to well up within all of that. And so, by the way, the psalmist understood that. And so he starts off saying, hey, here's who God is. And then look at the next couple of passages that he was inspired to write by the Holy Spirit. He says this, because God's an ever-present help, because he's a refuge, therefore we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Do you see what the psalmist is describing here? He says, listen, the earth is giving way. The mountains are falling down into the ocean. The waters are roaring, right? It is chaotic. You know what the psalmist is describing? Uncreation. Uncreation. The psalmist is describing a world that is falling apart. That's what he's writing about. That's what he's describing. And it can be scary when your world is falling apart. And it can be very easy to be focused on everything that's going wrong. The mountains coming down, the waves roaring, this is not right, that's not going well. And then you start thinking about all the other things that could still go wrong on top of that, right? So not only what's happening, but now your mind goes to all the potentials that could come. And then usually you hit a moment where you go, it could not get any lower than this. It could not get any worse than this. And then life hands you a shovel and shows you the basement, right? And there it is. You're going, oh, it can get worse, right? It can get lower. Fear stares at the basement. Fear stares at the basement, right? Maybe you have a struggling business and fear stares at things like, I don't know how we're going to make payroll this time around. It is not possible. There's a lack of new clients. Fear focuses on how are we ever going to. Fear stares at that. Fear in a failing relationship stares at what annoys you about the other person, right? Fear stares at, I'm sure they feel the same distance that I'm feeling right now and it's making things awkward. What will others think if this relationship fails and falls apart, right? Fear stares at the basement. If you're struggling with something like doubting faith, you begin to go, and was I ever really saved in the first place? What if I didn't pray the right prayer? I need to go find the right words to the sinner's prayer so that I can know that I can be saved. What do I do? Fear stares at the basement. Faith focuses on God. Faith focuses on our fortress, on our refuge, on our ever-present help. That's what verse 8 was talking about, right? Verse 8 starts out, says, come and see. Come and see what the Lord has done. It's an invitation to focus on all that God has already accomplished. And I'll tell you, when I read that verse, my mind just started going through the scriptures of all the ways that God had showed up, right? All the way back to the beginning, right? You remember when Adam and Eve, they chose to disobey the one command God gave them. And God showed them grace. Come and see the mighty works of God. I went to the book of Exodus when God set Israel free from slavery to Egypt through the Passover. Come and see what the Lord has done. My mind went to when God led the nation of Israel to simply march around the city of Jericho and celebrate and praise his character and his goodness, and he brought down this mighty fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. Right? Ultimately, my mind went to the reality when Jesus fully and finally defeated sin and death through his sacrifice and his resurrection. And now everyone can have hope through him when we put our faith in him. Come and see what the Lord has done. And so what the scripture is inviting you and I to do is to focus on the God who is always present, to focus on our refuge, to focus on our fortress, the God who is near, the God for those who have said yes to Jesus actually resides within you. Did you know that? That if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God lives inside of you through the person of the Holy Spirit. You can't get any closer to somebody than something like that. And Psalm 46 invites us to focus on this God who helps. So I was thinking about this and going, okay, what are just some really practical ways that you and I, maybe you're going through a time right now where your world feels like it's falling apart. How am I supposed to focus on God this week and today? And so here's just a couple of ideas you might consider. They're not the only ideas, but there are a couple of them. The first one is this. We've done it already this morning, but sing songs about God's character. Listen to songs about God's character, right? Like that might just be a great place to start. Is to, man, let your mind be filled with truth and music that focuses on who God is. This is kind of the point that Psalm 66 is making. It says, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds? How awesome is it of your kindness and your goodness and your patience and your justice and your faithfulness and your mercy and your grace? How awesome and how great are you? You know, on Wednesday, when our staff starts the day together, we start at 9 a.m. And everybody gathers together. And Wednesday, we do what's called Worship Wednesday. And so on Worship Wednesday, I usually bring in a hymn. And we will sing a hymn together on Worship Wednesday. Sometimes there's some eye rolling on Worship Wednesday because like, oh, man. But I love that because it's a moment for our team every single week to just let truth come into our minds. And this last week, in fact, we spent time reading the hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Because if you know that hymn, if you've ever tried to sing it, that is near impossible to sing, right? Okay, it just is. It's a great song. It's amazing. Thankful for Martin Luther writing that. But it's near impossible to sing. But we read that hymn together. And I got to tell you, man, it talks about how wonderful and great our God is. It talks about the reality of sin. And yet, Jesus Christ is our hero, right? Our captain. And it has this great line in there that says, we can make it, we can stand under the weight of whatever blows Satan might give to us. Why? Because we have Christ residing within, right? And I've been thinking about that hymn all week long. You know, most worship songs are just simply truth in a backpack. It's truth in a backpack. And they're memorable. The tune sticks in your mind, the words stick in your mind, and it reminds you of God's character as you're going throughout the day. And so one way you might focus on God to overcome fear this week is to simply sing songs about God's character. Here's another one. Man, read the Bible like every day. Like every day. Just read it. Just simply read it. Because as you're reading it, you know what's happening? You're inviting the truth of God's word to enter into your mind and to enter into your spirit. And what you're doing is you're building a library of truth for your life. And I want to talk just for a moment because some of us in here, you'll have days where you read the Bible and you're like, wow, every word is jumping off of the page to me. This is awesome. And then you'll go for a stretch of about a week or a month when you go in, I don't feel like I'm hearing anything. And is anything even happening right now? Is this worth me even reading, right? First off, that's common. That is a very common thing to have happen. You're not alone. I go through the same thing as well. Here's what I want to tell you. Keep reading. Keep reading. Why? Because you're building a library. What Jesus said in John chapter 14, right? He's describing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says, listen, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is he is going to bring to your remembrance things that I taught you. The Holy Spirit can only help you remember things that you have already encountered. You might be reading something dryly today because the Holy Spirit's going to bring it to your remembrance in a month or a year. Or, right? But he can only bring things to your remembrance that you've come across the first time. And so read the scripture. This is why Bible memorization is so critical, right? Just memorizing verses from the scriptures. Again, it's a lot like songs. What you're doing when you're memorizing Bible verses, this is just a survival toolkit for the day, right? You're putting verses in there that are going to live in your mind and live in your spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring them to remembrance at just the right time, right? Because he's going to use his word. Now, here's just a quick question. Those of you guys who have memorized a passage before, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand or put it in the chat if this is you too. If you've memorized a Bible verse, and then at some time later, maybe immediately, maybe a week, maybe, but like the Spirit brought it to your mind and it helped you in a real way. Raise your hand if you've memorized scripture, and then, man, look at the hands. This is the power of reading scripture and memorizing it. You are putting yourself in a position for God to lead you in a real way, right? To be able to focus on him and to fight the fear. And so read the Bible, memorize the scripture each day. Here's the last one. How are you going to focus on God to fight against fear? Remember what God has done in your life. When's the last time you went back to think, those of you who are followers of Jesus, you went back to think about the day that Jesus saved you from your sin, the very first day? I was thinking about that 10 days ago. And I went back to the place, I went back to the time, I went back to what was going on, I went back to all the situations that were leading up to it. Man, it brought me such joy to remember the work that Jesus had done in my life 27, 28 years ago. It's like, wow, that was really good. And then that started a memory lane of all the ways that I've seen God work in my life. And it just started to fill me with joy, and it started to fill me with hope. Man, taking time to remember what God has done in your life, how he's rescued relationships, how he's met your needs, how he's shown up in sweet times of presence where it was just only you and him and no one else was around, right? And to let that fill your spirit and your soul and to focus on him instead of focusing on the basement. I want to tell you something. Again, this is one of these things, we don't always talk about this kinds of stuff. And so I think there's some thoughts, there's some truth out there that some of us know and others of us don't. But here's what I want to tell you. You can control what you set your mind on and what you think about. Did you know that? When your mind starts to go to a dark place, when your mind starts to go to a fearful place, do you realize that you, in Christ, you have the potential, you have the power to change what you're thinking about and resist going in the basement and instead focus on God? And so simply choosing, making the intentional decision to focus in on God can absolutely change how you walk through a situation. You have the power to change how you think, right? Christ, the Holy Spirit has given you that ability. And so lean into that. You can fight fear by focusing on God. Okay, here's the last one. When your world is falling in, what are you going to do? Here's the last one. Surrender your world to God. This one is probably the most threatening and the most challenging out of all the ones we're going to talk about today, right? Run to God first for help. Yep, get it. Focus on God. Get there. Surrender my world to God. Excuse me, right? I did not come for that here today, Mr. Pastor Man, right? Give me something different. Let's go to point four. Listen, when your world, there's not a point four, by the way. You're going, oh my goodness, this is going so long. When your world is falling apart, it is natural to keep it, to want to keep it the way that it is, right? I want my world to stay the same. I want it to be what it was. I was comfortable there. I like it there. And so what some will do is some will side hustle in order to beat the debt. Right? I'm going to work harder. I'm going to be better. Others try to manipulate their kids into making better decisions. Some will try to escape through hobbies or some substance or just some form of denial. Right? World's falling apart and they're going, it's okay. I'm fine. I'm too stressed to be blessed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. This is good, right? I'm okay, right? And they go into denial. But listen, you don't have to fight for a world that's falling apart. You don't have to do that. This is the whole point of the Psalm, Psalm 46, right? Let's read these verses out loud together, starting with, he says, are you ready? Go. He says, be still and know that I am God. Pause there for a moment. Man, let that phrase sink in for a moment. Be still and know. Who's God? He's God. Okay, pick it back up. I will be. Are you ready? Go. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. By the way, this is our memory verse for the week. It's on the back of your connection card. That's the next step if you want to take. We'll send you some tips on how to memorize scripture a little bit more effectively. But check that next step, and you can spend time memorizing Psalm 46:10 this week. Now, it says, God says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. The literal translation of that phrase, be still, is this: let your hands drop. Move from a fighting position and let your hands drop, right? Cease striving. Stop fighting. That's what that phrase means. You know what you do when you put your hands down and you stop fighting? You are surrendering. You're surrendering. And so the scripture is inviting us to surrender our world, right? To come to a place where you realize that you are not God. He is. He's God. Now, I get it. Listen, I am not that dissimilar from you. When I think about surrendering my world, that is scary, right? If we can be honest, it's scary. You feel helpless. Well, what am I supposed to do if I'm surrendering over my world? But here's what you have to understand. What Psalm 46 is not asking you, it's not resigning to the situation. Well, I guess that's just the way it is, and I'm gonna have to work. This is my lot in life, and I'll have to deal with it, right? That's not what Psalm 46 is talking about. It's not resigning to the situation, and this is just as good as it's gonna get. What Psalm 46 is inviting you to do is to surrender to God. This is not a call to do nothing. Okay, so when you read Psalm 46:10, this is not a call to do nothing. It's an invitation to turn to the only one who can save your world from falling apart, because it's not you. And so it's not an invitation to do nothing. It's an invitation to put your trust in God alone. In fact, you know what this passage is? It's Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Surrender is trusting God. It is the intentional decision that I will trust God, and on the flip side of that, I'm actually suspicious of my own motives. Right? What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. I trust God implicitly and I'm suspicious of my own plans. That's what this is, right? That's challenging. That's challenging, right? What does it look like to let God guide me? Well, it's things like this: trusting that what the Bible says is true and is worth me believing and is worth me doing. That's what letting God guide me looks like. Going to God in prayer and just sitting before him sometimes. Seeking wise counsel from other godly people on a situation. That's what it looks like for God to guide you. And then taking action that's in line with God's truth. So you have to understand, Psalm 46 is not to just go sit down and wait for life to happen and revolve around you. This is action oriented. This is trusting God. This is seeking his face. This is seeking his truth. This is wanting his presence, just simply wanting to be with him, because it's already difficult enough as it is. If I go forward without him, I'm in even bigger trouble. It's a realization, right? Now, I want to go just, let's go one layer deeper on this if we can for a moment, because it could be that God is intentionally allowing your world to fall apart. I want you to think about that for a moment. It could very well be that God is allowing your world to fall apart. Why? Why would God actually allow my world to fall apart? Because he's not the center of it. He might be allowing your world to fall apart because he's not the center of your world. He might be allowing it to fall apart because your world is not the one that he created or the one that he wants for you. It's a world you've created. It's a world that somebody else has created, right? And if God is actually allowing your world to fall apart, you have to understand this. God is not destroying your life. He's dismantling your idols. And that is scary. That is threatening. When the thing that I have clung to so much for hope and for control and for power and for comfort begins to be threatened, that's a scary place to be. But what Psalm 46 is talking about, wouldn't you rather have the ever-present help, the refuge, the strength, the fortress of God than whatever other thing you've put at the center of your life? Psalm 46 is inviting you and I to do this, to stop worshiping your world and to start worshiping God alone. That's what the invitation of Psalm 46 is. Psalm 40, you know, Jesus essentially was quoting Psalm 46 in Matthew 16. He says this, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? And I know for a lot of us in here and a lot of people online, you're going, I don't want the whole world. I just want mine. I'm not looking for the whole world, God. I just want to be in control of mine. What benefit is it for you to control your world and in the process lose your soul? That's what this is talking about. So surrender your world to God. That's an easy phrase to say. How in the world do you do that? I'm going to share really personally. Here's what you do. You surrender your world to God as often as you need to. This is how you do it. You surrender your world to God as often as you need to do it. Let me just share. I have been praying about a situation in my life for a while, over and over and over again, just praying and asking God and asking him and talking to him, praying, God, I'm giving this to you again and again. I've got it written down in my notebook because I write most of my prayers down. So it's like I'm going back and looking like, there it is again, right? Like I keep going back to God again about the same thing over and over and over again. Now, here's what I want to tell you. I am starting to experience a change in my mind and in my heart when it comes to this situation. There is movement that is taking place simply from going back to God again and again and again, surrendering my world again and again and again and again to the Lord. The Christians of old referred to this as laboring in prayer. That's the phrase that was used for a couple of centuries, that we would labor in prayer. And they would describe it this way, constantly going to God again and again with the same heavy burden all of the time, right? Now, here's what some think, and I want to push back on this. Some people think that returning to God 100 times about the same thing is a lack of faith. But returning to God 100 times about the same thing isn't a lack of faith. It's the very definition of faith. To go back to God again and again and again and to trust him and to look to him. Going back to God 100 times for the exact same thing isn't a lack of faith. It's the highest proof that you know where your help comes from. My refuge, my strength, my ever-present help who's already on the scene, my fortress. Listen, when your world is falling apart, that is a great time to surrender your world, to drop your hands, to stop fighting, to cease striving, and put your trust in God alone. And I know for some of you, you're going, Fritz, I hear what you're saying, and on paper, this makes sense, but I cannot sit on the sidelines while I watch my life fall apart. No one's asking you to do that. No one here is asking you to do that. In fact, what I'm asking you to do is to trust God. That's what I'm inviting you to do. To go to Him first in prayer. To focus on Him instead of everything that's going wrong. To surrender your world again and again and again if you have to. Why? Because God is your refuge. God is your strength. God is your ever-present help in trouble. God is the river who makes hearts glad. God is with you. God is your fortress. Look at all that God has done in His creation and in your life and throughout all of history. He alone is God, and I am not. And so trust God. That's the invitation. Now, I shared with you that I was going to offer you, we've put together a prayer guide based on Psalm 46. And so on the back of your connection card, and you can get this online too, there's a next step. Please send me the Psalm 46 prayer guide. And you can mark that. We'll send that to you tomorrow. And it teaches you how to run to God for help. It teaches you how to focus on Him instead of your fear. And it teaches you how to surrender. And so if you'll mark that, and if your email address is on the front, And by the power of the Spirit, we can read it. We will send that to you tomorrow, right? So when your world is falling apart, listen, you don't have to be the one to save it. You weren't made to save it. That's not your role. You're not the savior of the world. Who is? God is. Jesus is. We're the ones who need saving. And so run to God. Focus on Him. Surrender your world to Him. In fact, this is exactly what Jesus did. Think about this. When Jesus' world was falling apart on the cross, right? He's hanging on the cross. He's nailed for you. Not even sins He committed. He's perfect. He's holy. He did nothing wrong. It was your sins. It was my sin that put Him on the cross. While He's on the cross and His world is falling apart, what does Jesus do? He calls out to God. My God, right? Into your hands, I commit my spirit. He prays. He calls out to God. He focuses on God's goodness, right? Focuses on His character. And then, one of His final words, He surrendered Himself. Surrendered Himself completely to God to be the final full sacrifice for all of our sins so that we could be with Him, so that we could be saved, so we could be forgiven, so we could have a right, healthy relationship with God. It's what Jesus did. And so because Jesus did it, now you and I can do that by faith and do the exact same thing. And so when your world is falling apart, you can trust God. Is what you were made for. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes and to ask the question. We ask this every weekend, and the question is this: Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And I just want to give you a chance to listen to Him and what He may be saying to you. I want to get really tangible here for just a moment. Just stay focused on Jesus, if you would. You remember that phrase, be still? Literally means to drop your hands. Here's what I would like you to do. If you're willing to do it, you can do this online as well. I'm going to ask you to put your hands on your lap, palms facing up, as a sign that, God, I'm dropping my hands. I'm going to cease striving. I'm going to stop fighting. I just want you to put your hands, palm side up, on your lap right now. And here's what I want you to do. Name that situation that you've been trying to save, you've been trying to fight for, you've been trying to fix on your own. And I want to invite you right now to hand that over to God, to go to Him right now in prayer, to focus on Him instead of what might, could, possibly, maybe happen in that situation. And with open hands, surrender that to the Lord and tell Him, I'm trusting You. You're the refuge. You're the strength. You're my ever-present help. You're my fortress. And I'm taking it out of my hands and I'm putting it in Yours. I want to invite you to do that right now. God, I am so thankful that your response time is way better than 4 minutes and 8 seconds. You are here. You are with us. You knew about what was taking place before it was going to. And you are a good father who can be trusted. And I have a sense that maybe there are some in this room, some joining online right now, that actually what they're surrendering today, it's not a situation, it's not a person, it's not something that they're facing. Actually, what they know they need to surrender is their very lives. And they need to put their faith in Jesus Christ today. And I'm praying by the leading of the Holy Spirit, you would empower them to make that decision even right now. To say yes to Jesus by faith. To say no to a life with you off to the side or not even a part of it at all. And today would be a day where they pass out of death and into life and they are reconciled with their Heavenly Father forever. Not because of their goodness, but because of your goodness. And today would be an eternally life-changing day for many of my friends in this room and many who are joining online. Would you lead us some to do that today? And others who have already said yes to you, this would be a day of comfort, a day to be reminded, my God is good. My God is with me. I can trust him. He keeps showing up faithful again. And yes, I'm nervous. Yes, I'm scared. But my God is bigger than my nervousness. My God is bigger than my anxiety. And I know if I pray, he shows up. He shows up sometimes even when I don't. That's how good he is. Guys, God cares about you. You can hand that over to him.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.